How's everybody doing today? Very good, very good. Want to say hello to everybody watching online. I want to, before I start, read an announcement to you. It's probably take me 3 minutes, and it's going to be off the topic of Wired for Love, and just bear with me. Throughout American history, pastors in this country have spoken out against social issues and political issues and even political candidates based on the Bible. They've spoken out in the churches. And in 1954, Lyndon Johnson, at the time was a senator, got Congress to pass a bill, and they amended the tax code to prevent churches from speaking out against political issues and specifically political candidates. And they threatened that if you did that, you would lose your tax exemption. And the reason Lyndon Johnson did that is because his opponent had churches speaking against him. And so they changed the code, and since 1954, there's been this cloud over churches about speaking out against candidates. Well, in 57 years that it's been in law, no church has ever been sued, but pastors have had this fear, if I can't say this against this person or that person. So in the last 3 years, there's been what we call Pulpit Freedom Sunday, and it's the month of October, where churches have been preaching sermons about biblical issues, about social issues, and calling out specific candidates and saying, here's what these candidates believe, and here's what they don't believe. And the purpose of the Pulpit Freedom Sunday is to challenge the IRS to try to take our tax exemption. And if they do that, we go to court, we can remove the bill because we feel that the law, the amendment in the tax code violates the free speech clause in the Constitution that says you can say anything you want. It violates the establishment clause saying that the government shouldn't establish religion, and it violates the free exercise of religion clause. Now, why this is important is because there are a lot of churches and pastors who are standing under this cloud and not speaking freely. And so this month, churches have been preaching, so I'm going to do my part to join my fellow pastors. I'm not going to preach a sermon because I want to continue on our series. But I do want to make an announcement, and we're going to send this to the IRS and let them watch it and then say, if you're going to do something, let's jump because we got lawyers that are coming against you. Okay. Let me say three things to the IRS. We love you, and we know you're just doing your job. Jesus loves you, so we know this is kind of, we're all kind of stuck in the middle. But please accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, because he really loves you a whole lot. He died for you. Number two, let me say as I read these issues, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a list of candidates that are running for president, even though the election's next year. I'm going to talk about abortion and marriage. These are only two issues. To be a good president requires a whole lot more than just these two issues. Neither party, the Republicans or the Democrat, have a corner market on Christianity, and neither party has a corner market on the government. They're both flawed people, and, God created government for himself. God created government. Remember, he's a king, and he's going to judge. And so the whole concept of government comes from God, and God established government so that government would serve him. That's where it comes from. I have people talk about, you're a Christian, your pastor shouldn't be talking about this. It's the very opposite. God has given us all the freedom to vote and do it. And as a Christian, you should vote based on what you believe, and what you believe should be the Bible. I was in a interview with Newsweek magazine. It was actually on the internet, and the guy asked me, "Why are you a pastor speaking out and being involved in politics?" I'm not really involved in politics, but this event was, and I says, "Well, listen, I have a belief system. You have a belief system. You're just prejudiced against my belief system, but everybody has a belief system." And so as a believer, you should know what people who are going to rule over you believe according to the Bible, because if they're going against God, you can't fight God. Our arms are too short to box with God. And so you don't want to be supporting someone that's going to believe God. Amen? Amen. Vote for who you want for, but IRS, I just want to send this to you and tell you we love you, but here we go. Number one, abortion. God, the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5 that before God formed us in the womb, he knew us. In Psalm 139:13, he says he knitted us in the womb, that a baby has a right to live. Now, we'll do a sermon on abortion. I know some of you in here listening probably believe abortion's okay. The baby has its own rights. The baby has its own body. So we believe that leaders, government leaders, should not allow and support babies being killed. Matter of fact, one in every five pregnancy ends in an abortion, about 1.4 million a year in this country. Someone's going to answer to God for that. The other issue is marriage. God, we've been talking for 5 weeks about marriage, that God created a man and a woman to be married. That's what he created. Jesus said it. It's from Genesis to Revelation. And so we believe those two issues are very biblical. So I'm going to read to you a list of candidates and tell you what they believe, and then we'll send this to the IRS and pray that something happens there. These are the list of candidates that believe in pro-life and that believe in marriage, biblical marriage. Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, Mitt Romney. These are the candidates who don't believe in the right to life for a child, and they are opposed to biblical marriage. Barack Obama and Gary Johnson, who actually is a Republican as well. So it's Republican and Democrat. So there you go. You can do with it what you want. Next year when the election comes out, we'll be more thorough. But we just want to say that we as pastors can say anything we want about any candidate and challenge you to vote or not vote for them because of what they believe in the Bible, and then you do with that what you want, but we have that freedom. And I want to encourage all the pastors out there who are watching and hear about this to say what's on your heart and preach the word of God without being fear. So, amen. That's it. Amen. Someone say, praise the Lord. Let's see your Bibles today. Say, word. One more time, say, word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. And again, we want to welcome everybody watching online and watching in North County. We are going to take a purity pledge today to end our series. We've been talking a lot during this series called Wire for Love. And we're going to take a purity pledge. I'll explain to you in a minute. I got a little bracelet. And if you're married, you still need to be pure. Being pure does not mean you're abstinent. It means you're pure. So if you're married, please don't be abstinent. Get it on. If you're single, close your ears. Lord, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for being good to us. We pray you bless us today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Okay, here we go. Okay, I want to say a couple of controversial things, if I haven't already done that this morning today. I'm going to say a couple of controversial things, and I want you to react to it, because I'm going to say something to the ladies, or controversy for the ladies. I'm going to say something controversial for the guys. And ladies, if you don't like what I say, which I hope it bothers you a little bit, I want you to boo, yell, jeer, whatever you want to say, okay? Okay? Okay, so in this message today called Bo Knows Women, I'm going to teach you fellas, ladies, listen very carefully, fellas, I'm going to teach you how to get your woman to bow at your feet. Fellas, y'all want to, ladies, y'all, what do y'all think about that? Okay, this is in the Bible, okay, it's in the Bible. Now, this is also in the Bible, ladies, relax. Ladies, I'm going to teach you how to get your man to give you everything you ever asked for. Okay. Boo. Now, that, to me, it sounds like a win-win. Why don't it sound like a win-win? Okay. So all the fellas in the house with a deep voice, and if you haven't had puberty yet, just fake it. I want you to say, Bo. Okay, we're going to try it on three. That was kind of weak. I want you to take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath in. On three, one, two, three. Whoa. That's right, shake the room. We had 1,500 SEALs and Special Forces in here for a funeral about a month ago. It was sad when 22 SEALs passed away. And at the end of the funeral, they all stood up and they said, hoo-yah. And this room shook. So fellas, give me a little bass. On three, one, two, three, say bo. Bo. Very good. All the ladies say, like a flute, roof. One more time, one, two, three. There's nothing coming from up here. This little emptiness right here. On two, three, one, two, three. Fellas, give me bo on three. One, two, three. Bo. Very good. Okay, here's a story. Very simple story about a woman named Ruth. Her husband dies. She goes back to live with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she's poor, and her mother-in-law says, look, Ruth says, look, I have to get some food, so I'm going to go out and glean in the fields after the harvesters. So glean meant that if the harvesters were picking apples and the apple fell on the ground, the poor people will come behind and pick the apples up as free food. It was a way to provide for the poor. God built this into the Bible. He built a lot of stuff in the Bible to provide for the poor. It'd be like when you go to In-N-Out. If you don't know what In-N-Out is, for y'all watching online, it's the best hamburger place on the planet. And when you go to In-N-Out, one of the best things they have is fries. They just do burgers and fries. That's all they do, burgers and fries and drinks. They don't do hot dogs and eggs and tacos and burritos and all that kind of stuff. They do hamburgers and fries. And when you get the fries, they come in a little basket, little cardboard thing. And if you get a couple of things, they'll put it, a couple of meals, they'll put it in a cardboard box. So you may have two fries in the cardboard box. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so when you put the fries in the box, if fries fall off the box, if they fall off your little individual basket into the box, that's free. You that's not yours anymore. That's for whoever. You could walk by and go, oh, boom. Can I get an amen? So if you're like walking through and you see someone's fries that have fell off the main box onto the table, onto the tray, that anybody can pick that up. That's all common law stuff. And you can just go, hey, boom, 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 what's that? Ooh, like that. And you can eat it. Now, that's called gleaning. That's what that is. You're biblically gleaning. Okay, don't try that in my name. Do it at your own risk. So what happens is Ruth is going to go out glean, and then Boaz, he owns the land. He's a big, big cheese walk around, and they're going to date and get married. So after we learned all about love and relationships in this last 5 weeks, now we're going to put it all together and show how a guy is supposed to hook up his woman and how a woman's supposed to be the right way. Okay, people say, well, Christians shouldn't date. Ain't nothing wrong with dating. It's just the people who date. The concept of dating, there's nothing wrong with marriage. Marriage is great. It's just the people who are married, they mess it up. It's not marriage. Church is fantastic. It's just the people. So we just want to try to not get in the way, okay? So let's read the story. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband. Chapter 2, Ruth 2, 1. Ruth, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, a family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. All the fellas say, Bo. Bo. And Ruth, all the ladies say, Ruth. Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go in the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. Please let me go to In-N-Out and get some free French fries. Y'all got it? Okay. And then it says, she left and went after and gleaned in the field of the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to his reapers, Lord be with you. They said, Lord be with you. That's another way of saying what's happening. Boaz said to the servant who was in charge, his foreman, he says, yo, who's that fine young thing over there? Your Bible didn't say that? Yeah. I got the Don King version, okay? Yeah, I got the King James. It's old school. The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab, and she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little while in the house. In your notes, number one in your notes, virtuous women have their priorities in order. Now, whether you're married or single, this still applies to you. But especially if you're single and you want to get a good man, you got to be a good woman. If you want to get a good woman, you got to be a good man. Ladies, God has a plan for your life. Irrespective of the guy in your life, God has a call in your life. That has nothing to do with your man. And what I mean by that is that you need to pray to God on your own. You need to have your own relationship with God, your own call in your life with God, and your own faithfulness to God. It's not your man. That's not his job. I mean, his job is to invest in that, but you have to have your own commitment to God. So what Ruth did is Ruth says, I have to go get food. I have to take care of my business. And she went out and the Bible says she worked from morning to night. She wasn't there trying to, oh, look all cute against a tree, look at me, blah, blah, blah. She was out there working hard day and night. So my encouragement to you ladies is day and night to the day you die, that you walk with God. A lot of people think, some people think, if I get a husband or if I get a wife, I'm going to be happy. Well, wait till you get a wife and a husband. It's not what you think. It's great, but it's not what you think. You have to have your feet on the solid rock of Christ. Matter of fact, people don't complete people. I know you saw Jerry Maguire and sounded all good. Oh, you complete me in that movie. It sounds all good, but it ain't true. It's not true. Christ completes you. Two incomplete people, if they get married, you got an incomplete marriage. Two half people don't make one whole person. Two half people make a mess. And so you want to make sure that Christ completes you. And then when you get married or you're in date and you're in love, that Christ still completes you. He's the one who's going to get you through, because you will have drama in your marriage. You will have drama. Let's keep reading. Look what it says in verse 8. Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean in any other field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young man not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from the water which the young men have drawn." So here's what Boaz did. Boaz has not even met this woman yet. He just heard about her. And he goes over to her, knowing that she's in a dangerous situation. Gleaning was dangerous. You were out in the field. You didn't know who was out there. You didn't have any protection. You were just kind of getting what you could get. And he goes over to her as the owner of the land. Remember we talked about the gatekeeper? He's the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper is the protector of the town, or the protector of the relationship, the provider of the town, the provider of the family. He's the gatekeeper. He's on his property. He says, "Listen, Ruth, see all these guys out here? They work for me. You see all those women over there? They work for me. You see all this land? It's mine. All that food, that water, these trees, it's all mine. And guess what? I got everything taken care of. You don't have to worry about a thing. Those guys ain't going to touch you. You don't have to worry about it. You want some water? It's over there. It's already got it. They got it for you. Everything's taken care of." He didn't even know her. He didn't go up to her and say, "Yo, girl, what's your name? What you doing out here crawling around the ground, Glenn? Come on now. Come on. Let me hook you up." No. I'm just trying to keep my skills, you know, sharp just in case something happens. I don't know, but as I kind of smooth my wife every now and then, "Hey, girl, what's your name?" And she's like, "What do you want for dinner?" Okay. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "She fell on her face and bowed to the ground and said, 'Why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?'" Number two, godly men place women's needs before their desires. Ooh, you want to get your lady to bow down? Bow down to her first. Ouch. Ouch. "Yeah, I'm going to get my woman. My woman's going to serve me. My woman's going to do what I say." Yes, she will, if you do it first. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning, I can get up and wake up in the morning, 2 o'clock, say, "Oh, Debbie, get up." She'd be like, she'll wake up. "What?" "Like, Debbie, my mouth is dry. Can you go get me some water?" She'll get up out of bed, walk downstairs, get the water, walk upstairs, say, "You want some water?" I'm like, "Yeah, thanks." That's right. She will give me the water, and if I ask her to feed it to me, she will. You know why? Because she knows I'll do it for her. I mean, she really wouldn't do all that. But my woman will serve me because she knows I will serve her. And as fellas, we have to set the example first. And remember, the Bible says the woman's supposed to submit to the husband as Christ, as the church does the Lord. What did the Lord do? The Lord loved the church first. The Lord laid his life down first. And so what did Boaz do? He says, "Listen, I don't even know your name. I already know your name, but I don't need to ask your name. I'm already taking care of all this stuff for you first. That's it. I'm always going to be ahead of you. I'm always going to take care of." Remember, he's the gatekeeper. His job is to make her safe. And so if we as guys, you're talking about whether you're dating or married, if you are taking care of your business first and looking out for the other person first, remember we talked about Ephesians 5, that a man loves his wife as his own body, whoever hated his own body. So if you're hungry, you have to assume she's hungry. If you're sleepy, you have to assume she's sleepy. If you're cranky, you have to assume she's cranky. So then take care of her crankiness. Because in taking care of her crankiness, you're taking care of your crankiness. Because if she's cranky, you're going to be cranky. And so Boaz is setting the example, saying, listen, this is what you do, is you look after her first. And look what it says next after that. It says, verse 11, it says, Boaz answered and said, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and a land of your birth and have come to a people who you did not know. We all know what you did. The Lord repay your work, a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Boaz says, Ruth, I already know all about you. Now, how many of y'all are single right now? Raise your hand. Okay. If you're watching online in North County, raise your hand if you're single. Very good. We don't see you, but I trust that you're doing this. Now, if you're married, it's kind of too late for this point. But if you're single, do a background check. Background check. You meet somebody, a guy, girl, whatever. Hey, okay, how you doing? What's your name? Oh, my name is Shanae. How you doing? Well, Shanae, well, you know, where you from? Oh, I'm from over there, over there. And so you start talking, you get a number or whatever, whatever the guy's name. And then you find out, have you ever had a boyfriend before or a girlfriend before? Oh, yeah. Can I have their names? I need information. Can I have some hair? I need DNA. Have you ever been in jail? I want to know. Now, you may think this is kind of silly, but you know, if you go work with our kids, we do a background check. We take your fingerprint. We call it a po-po. And if there's anything comes up, you ain't going in there. And so if I'm going to give my life to you and trust my heart to you, I want to know a little bit something about you other than you got a good smile and you take Listerine. I mean, I need to know more than that. Boaz says, it has been fully reported. We know all what you did, Ruth. We know everything. You know how much heartache you would save if you did a background check? It don't take long. And if someone says, well, you know, I did have some girlfriends, but I can't give you their names or their numbers. Why? Well, you know, one's in the hospital. Of course he's not going to say that he hit her. He's not going to say he cheated on her. He's not going to say he got her pregnant and whatever. He's not going to tell you that. You need it, and it sounds so simple, and it is. And you will save so much headache. So much headache. Hey, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's keep reading. I love this story. Look what it says in verse 12. It says in verse 13, she said, let me find favor in your sight, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to me, though I'm not like one of your maidservants. You're so nice, Boaz. Boaz said to her, mealtime. Come here, girl. You have to read the Bible like with feeling. He says, come here, girl. Eat your bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. Bread and vinegar. Now that is a cheap date right there. Homeboy is efficient. See, normally y'all just you would miss all these good points. This is good stuff in here. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. Basically, here's what's happening. They're sitting around eating with a bunch of people. Now, I'm just going to read into it a little bit. They're not alone. They just met. It's very you need to be very careful who you hang out with and where you hang out with them. If you are dating and you're going to meet somebody and you're going to go through the normal worldly process of being alone with each other, all hugged up, something bad is going to happen. And when I say bad, something against what the Bible would tell you to do and allow you to do. That's going to happen. Dating gets a bad rap because we do it wrong. But if you say, you know, we're going to put some guidelines around our relationship so we don't get caught up in stuff. One is, I'm going to date a person that loves God. Now, don't date someone just because they're Christian, because just because someone says they're Christian means about that much. Because some people think they're Christian because they came to church. Or came to church. Or they were baptized, or they got a cross, or they own a Bible that's in the attic in their grandmother's house across the country. You remember we talked about loving somebody means helping them obey God. I mean, you need to date somebody who is walking with God. And how are you going to know that unless you're not walking with God? And how are you going to know that unless you do a background check? And how are you going to know that unless you're with them and observe it for a while and you know what to observe? All these things will save you tons of headache. It will save you divorce. It will save you bankruptcy. It will save you disease. It will save you all kinds of drama. And it's really not that hard to do. Hey, I know you want to go out with me. Why don't we just take 90 days? Let me observe you. And you can observe me. Because I want to see if you love God. I want to see what happens when you get mad. I want to see what happens when you don't get your way. I want to see what you do on Sunday and then Monday and Tuesday. I want to see that. Be upfront. Save yourself headache. Ooh, headache. Let's keep reading. This is a great story. Let's keep reading. Chapter 3. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's keep reading. Verse 15. Look what it says. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz, look what Boaz is hooking her up. Everyone say hooking her up. He says, when she rose, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Don't tell her to get back. In other words, don't let her only glean with what fell on the ground. Let her go over there and get the stuff you guys collected. In other words, those French fries, let her get right in the middle of that whole thing right there. Give her a body a double-double, unless it has fried onions, then you can't give her that. And it says, verse 16, it says, let grain fall purposely. In other words, don't let it only glean what falls on the ground by accident. Pour some out for the sister. And leave it for her that she may glean and do not rebuke her. In other words, bless her, bless her, bless her. Say it three times with me. Say, bless her.
Bless her, bless her, bless her.
That's how you treat a woman. Fellas, right there. Now, I know his heart, his work is going, brother, why are you giving all this stuff away? Why are you hooking this girl up? And I imagine Bo said, mind your business. just mind your business. Chapter 3. It says, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? In other words, Ruth came back and said, oh, I met this guy, Bo, and he did this for me, he did this for me. And her mother-in-law said, oh, you need to hook this guy up right now. You just pull that hook and get him, okay? So here's how you do it. It says, verse 2, Boaz, whose young women you were with, is not a relative. In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. In other words, tonight he's going to be on top of a hill where it's going to be breezy. And what they did is they would harvest all the wheat all day long. They would take it up on top of the hill, and they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow away the chaff or the little stuff that wasn't any good. And the kernels would fall to the ground. They would separate the wheat from the chaff. The chaff would be burned up, and the wheat they would eat. So he's going to be up there all night throwing this stuff up in the air. You might have seen this on National Geographic because we don't do this in San Diego. But he throws it up and the wind would blow away the stuff. And he's going to be up there all day doing that. And then when he does that, he's going to spend the night to protect it because that pile of wheat represents a lot of work. And it's valuable. So here's what you do, Ruth. Go up there and I'm going to tell you what you should look what it says. It says, verse 3, therefore, wash yourself. Yes, that would be good. Anoint yourself, put on some smell good, put on your best clothes. Things have not changed in thousands of years, huh? And go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And then it shall be when he lies down that you shall take notice of the place where he lies down. You shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. She said, all that you say, I will do. And she went to the threshing floor and did according to what her mother-in-law had instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, not that he was drunk, he just drank, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came in softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, and he turned himself, and there was a woman lying at his feet. And Boaz said, praise the Lord. That's what he said. It's right there. Praise the Lord. He said, who are you? She answered,
servant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are my close relative.
Now, when she says, now, one, she laid his feet, okay, it was an act of submission. And she said, take your maidservant under your wing. His wing was his arm, your rib. Remember we talked about Eve came from the rib. This was a custom thing. He knew what she was saying. This had nothing to do with sex. It had to do with relationship. It had to do with bonding we were talking about. I'm submitting myself to you according to the custom. Take me under your wing. This is your wing right here. Matter of fact, when you walk with your arms down, you are covering your rib, your wife, right here. There was a little boy in kindergarten. He was rolling around on the floor. He went to kindergarten class, came back. It was a Christian school. He came back, and he was rolling around on the floor, and he had a stomach ache. And he says, his mother said, what's wrong? He said, oh, my side hurts. He said, what do you think is wrong? He says, I think I'm having a wife. It's your rib. It's your riblet. Verse 10. He said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than in the beginning, in that you did not go after the young men, whether rich or poor. Ruth, you did a respectful thing. You didn't come out here trying to flaunt yourself. You didn't come out here trying to, you know, entice guys. You came out here and took care of your business. And you did it correctly, biblically. Verse 11, now my daughter, ladies, here's your part. Do not fear, for I will do for you all that you request. I'll do whatever you want. Why? For all the people of the town know you are a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman is a very valuable thing. And number three in your notes, virtuous women do not take shortcuts. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a short dress or a short top. But you don't take shortcuts. A virtuous woman say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to honor you. And your time is your time. And I'll wait. Because the minute you take a shortcut, bad things happen. And so that's what he told her. He says, everybody knows you're a virtuous woman. And because everybody knows you're a virtuous woman, you are a sought-after commodity. You are very rare. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there's a relative closer than I. Stay the night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty, then I will perform the duty as the Lord lives, lie down till morning. Now, without getting into the whole kinsman redeemer issue, in the Old Testament, if your husband died, you had to have a relative marry you to redeem the land. The land had to stay in the family. And if she didn't, she would lose the land that was inherited to her, that was gifted to her from her husband's death. That's what they're talking about, relative. Look at verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning. Say feet. She didn't all cuddle up and say, oh, good, we're going to hook up, so we're going to get married, so why don't we just do... No, no, no. She laid at his feet till morning. And then it says, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. He told everybody, I don't want you to say this woman was up here. He didn't want to mar her reputation. Now, some people say, well, if I'm dating somebody, how far can I go? Can I kiss? Can I hold hands? Boom, boom, boom. Matthew 5, 27 and 28, Jesus says, if you lust in your heart after a woman, you've sinned. Or if you lust after a man, you've sinned. Either way. And so you can do anything you want as long as you don't lust in your heart. Now, some people, you can't even look at a woman. So you have to just talk to them like this. How are you? How are you? It's very nice to meet you. I don't even touch you. I can smell your perfume. I got to go upwind. I can't smell your perfume. Now, you might say, well, that's ridiculous. Yeah, it is ridiculous that you can't look at a woman without thinking something nasty. That's the ridiculous part. What the world will say is do whatever. That's one extreme. That's why dating gets a bad rap, because dating is lumped in with that. But God would say, no, you can honor a woman. You can serve a woman. You can have relationships with a woman. You can have friendships. You can hang out. But just don't put yourself in a position where stuff is going to start going on in your head and in your heart, where you're going to start to desire stuff. Don't go so far. The Bible says you can't scoop fire into your bosom without being burned. So don't play with the fire. But it doesn't mean you can't have a relationship. Don't mean you can't hang out. Don't mean you can't enjoy each other. But you have to be wise. So what he said, he said, stay at my feet, because I know if you stay next to me, bad things are going to happen. And by the way, fellas, don't tell anybody she was here, because I don't want people to start saying stuff about what didn't happen. He was a man of integrity. And look what it says in verse number 4 in your notes. Godly men consistently exercise self-control. Fellas, the reason we guys do things they shouldn't do is because they do things they shouldn't do. It's real simple. I am making a decision to do something I shouldn't do. Well, that's why you did something you shouldn't do, because you made a decision to do something you didn't do. It's all discipline. I know a lot of you are going to watch football today. Let me give you a little insight to the people you are watching on television. A lot of them aren't a lot, I say a lot, are not there because they're talented. And some of them aren't really extraordinarily as talented as they are committed. I know this is a fact. Because the most talented are not everybody on the field that you see in every NFL game. I promise you, there are a whole lot more talented people that aren't even in the league. They just weren't as committed, and a lot of other things to happen. And so you just have to make a decision, am I going to be a man of God or not? That's just a decision you make. Am I going to be a woman of God or not? Am I going to be a Boaz or Ruth or not? That's a decision you make. And if you don't, then you reap the consequences of the decision. Don't blame God. It's on you. And so the godly men exercise self-control. And matter of fact, number 5 in your notes, number 5, godly men in the end handle their business. Handle their business. Look what it says in verse 15. It says, he said, bring a shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured out 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. And then she went into the city. He blessed her again. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? She told her all that Boaz had done and how much food he gave her. And he said, don't go away empty-handed. He just kept blessing her. And verse 18, we'll end with this verse. Boaz's mother, Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man, everyone say man. Say man. The man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Ladies, do not date a boy. You want a man. There was a guy who was in overseas in war. His name was John, and he established a relationship with a woman through mail. And in this mail program, in this letter writing program, they couldn't exchange pictures because it was simply just for a relationship through the mail, just to encourage people. Well, John and Mary got connected through the mail. They had never seen a picture of each other. This is old, back before email. And they decided they wanted to meet. Even though it was against the rules, they decided they wanted to meet. And all they knew was their heart. All they knew was what they wrote in letters. So he says, I'm going to be at the train station at 2 o'clock, whatever. And she said, okay, I'll be the lady with the red rose. So he gets all done up in his, you know, his military outfit, and she's all done up. And he gets off the train. He's looking for the lady with the red rose. And he gets off the train. And he sees a woman at the end of the platform, and she's kind of bent over. And her knuckles are dragging on the ground. And she got a little hair coming out of her back. And she's half bald, but she has a rose in her hand. And the rose is, you know, it's all the petals are gone because she was dragging it as she was walking. So he looks at her and goes, wow, wow. That's Mary, huh? So, you know, she was down like this and she kind of was grunting and stuff was just dripping from her mouth. And he's like, took a deep breath, said, I've been to war, I can handle this. And he's like, you know what, I fell in love with that girl's heart. I have to overlook what I'm looking at right now. I'm just looking at her heart. She's a beautiful person on the inside. So he's walking down the platform, and just as he starts to walk, this lady gets off the train in a green dress, and she's fine. I mean, she's fine. She's like, boom, boom, boom. She got everything he likes. And he's like, wow. She walks towards him, and he could smell her perfume. She's just beautiful, and she's just, you know, modestly dressed but beautiful. And he's like, man, she's gorgeous. And she walks by him, and he could smell her smell good. And he just says, don't turn around. It'd be disrespectful to Mary. He turns around. He couldn't help it. She turned around, looked at him, and winked. And he was so tempted to go after the lady in the green dress. But he was so committed to Mary. So he went over and he turned back around. He said, I got to go talk to Mary. This is where my heart is. And he went over to Mary. And Mary's like this. So he goes over. He says, hey, Mary, how are you? She goes, huh? So I'm John. I'm John. You know, we were writing the letters. You're the lady with the red rose. She said, no, I'm not Mary. There's a lady in a green dress told me to hold this rose. I want to see what you're going to do. So, needless to say, that was a happy brother. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get a Mary, and I'm not saying you're going to get a John, but I'm saying this. If you say to God, God, I want to be a Bo, I don't want to be a Ruth, for reals. I want to be a godly man, a godly woman. If you're married, I'm going to be faithful to my wife and my husband at all costs, not only physically with a woman, but even mentally. And if you are single, that you're going to hold yourself pure until you get married, and you're going to keep temptation as far away as possible, because let me tell you, temptation is tempting. It's designed to be tempting. Heroin addicts start their drug addiction with cigarettes. They just don't know it. So you say, Lord, I am going to be faithful. So here's what we have for you, because we got to get you out of here. We have these bracelets, and it says wiredforlove.net on it and a website, and we want you to give you these bracelets to wear, and we want you to go online. There's a little thing up there. We want you to go online at the website, and we want you to make your pledge online. Now, you don't have to do that to get one of these bracelets, but we want to challenge you to say, I am going to be pure. You can write it. You can click it right there. When you go on the website, wiredforlove.net, it's on the bracelet. The website's on the bracelet. You click that red thing at the left, and you can give us your pledge. You could do video. You can write it and send it to your friends and say, listen, I'm going to be pure before God. Ooh. Make a video, write it, whatever, and say, please hold me accountable. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you. It is worth it. And all you have to do, if you're not convinced, look at your friends and your own life and all the fallout of your sexual sin. Save yourself all that headache. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. And we pray you bless us today. May we be faithful and pure in your eyes. Lord, thank you that you created love. Thank you that you created relationships. Thank you that you designed us to live in relationship. And I pray you purify marriages, purify people's minds and their hearts. And I pray this series was a blessing to people. And Lord, I pray as people leave here, they take this bracelet and they go online and they give us their pledge. And they will be a witness to the world that people can today in 2011 stand pure before God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. God bless you. God bless you.
I found nothing new. I found nothing new.